community. We thank you, Lord, for our freedoms that we get to experience, Lord God, in this nation. And Father, I pray for these leaders that are here today, Lord God, those representing the city of Lebanon Junction. Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom. Your word says that you will give wisdom freely to those who ask. And Lord, I just ask for wisdom as they lead and make decisions representing the city. And Lord God, I just pray that you bless them, bless those that are here tonight. And Lord God, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you all. I'd like to call the meeting to order, April the 3rd, 2023's meeting. Motion to accept the minutes from the previous meeting.
Motion to accept.
Motion made.
Second.
Seconded. Call the roll.
Jenny?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
And Teresa?
Yes.
Joe's absent.
Joe's absent. Has anybody heard from Joe?
Yes, he will be here shortly, tied up at work.
He's at work, yes. Okay, we got a pretty good full agenda tonight, so I will take the sign-in sheet. Is anybody that wants to sign the sign-in sheet doing so, do it now? No, I got you on the agenda. Okay. I'll put you on there. I wrote you in. They don't know it yet. But the public, if they got anything they want to say, I want to make sure they're on the list. But once we start the meeting, I want to stick to the business at hand. So, only one I got, Mr. Shoemaker, run.
I just want to talk about the dumpster. The dumpster pickup at the apartment center.
Uh-huh.
They're not picking up. The guy next door to the house there, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Right. Well, he's putting his garbage in it too. Well, that's no big deal. But if they don't pick it up for a month, it's piling in there. Which it's okay if they come and pick it up. But the people that live there, that lady's been living there for 30 years, one lived there for 20 years, one's lived there for 18. That's her house. Right. She don't want the garbage up there. So I'm going down there picking it up. She's been calling. I've been calling.
Right.
I can't get nothing.
Well, it's nothing. It's nothing on you or her or anything. We've had nothing but trouble in the bin. In talking, I went through this meeting two back and you weren't here, just to enlighten you on it real quick. Everybody's shorthanded. Everybody's got that same excuse, and I understand it, and they're behind and this and that. And we've had several issues with several things. The other mayors, and I did a mayor's meeting last week again with four out of the eight, and they all have the same issues. So in doing so, we tried to really push them to get corrected, and they're doing better. Maybe not on your end, but they're doing better everywhere else, and I'm trying to get it better, Ronnie. But the thing is, we can't control what they do, and I understand your frustration.
I've called the guy. She gave me the guy's number. I called him. He said one of y'all have to call. You called. I know you called. I've called.
I've talked to him myself. I've called, left messages, what have you. The light in the tunnel is that we have it out for bid right now for the new garbage system that's going to be. And it'll be contracted out. All I can do is apologize for what's been going on.
No, that's fine. I just want to make sure it's been going.
But they got their own independent. Yes, Terry.
I was up there the other day, and they tried to get to the one dumpster over there when you first go in the parking lot, but some of those people are parking way too close that he can't get to that dumpster.
Wait, Crown Place or Payton?
Crown Place.
I'm talking about Payton.
Okay, I was going to say, because he tried
to
the other day.
No, I ain't got none of that.
Because he had to leave the other day because he couldn't get to it.
Yeah,
right, and you're not the only one. Little Rick's Restaurant had the same issue, and I understand it, and you're frustrated.
I'm not frustrated. I just make sure we're getting something.
No, we're going to get. It's going to be fixed, and hopefully, negotiated out in the next contract where we're going to have it. And it's up for bid as we speak.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, you good with that?
Yep.
It's all right.
Thank you.
All right, take care, bro. Thank you. All right, that's all. It's on the sign-in sheet, so we will move forward to old business, Council. Persons. On top of that, I'm going to stick Mendel Scott, Steve Scott over here. He's with the buildings, and I'll give you a quick overlay of what he's going to discuss with you real quick. Is building three, is it not correct? Well, you might as well just step on up here and we can talk back and forth. So this is on the business at hand. I don't want him firing something at you that you don't understand, and we all are in the same boat. Building three is the building that's closest to the ballpark.
That's correct.
And we all are under knowingly that their property line really encroaches in on the parking at the ballpark. Okay.
I can pass these around, people.
You pass around, let them be looking at it.
This is an aerial that shows kind of the outline of the building and the parking and the property line, right there.
We have fought and struggled and worried about saving the ballpark and keeping it there, keeping it alive, and that's what we're going to continue doing. In doing so, Building 3 is wanting to be the first one for the takeoff, and this is not something that's 100% etched in stone. They came to me, what, Steve, 5:30? I knew he was coming, but it's all coming so quick that we have to understand they're wanting to use, and you will see the paperwork, they're wanting to use our, what we consider our parking lot, and it's not, it's theirs. So in doing so, they're going to take so many feet of it and use it, and you can't stop them from their property, obviously. But in doing so, being the good neighbors that I'm understanding that's come to me even before this moment, they called the other day, wanted to get on the agenda, is they want to fix us a better parking lot down further. So with that, if we're going to lose some parking due to the fact they own it, instead of sitting there with no parking, I'm leaning towards we're negotiating something, or in hopes of negotiating with you all and us, that the ball field, and they had looked firsthand, you don't mind me telling this, do you?
No.
They looked firsthand at what I seen just moments ago with Matt's, Brian's here representing our engineer. He's gone for the week. He couldn't make it. So that's our Matt for the day. So
I wondered where Matt was.
So Matt had to go out of town. And he done called twice in the last 30 minutes. Is everything okay? Well, how do I know? We haven't started yet. So anyway, in being fair and just, they are the owners of the said property that we're wanting to talk about. And I want to see us become good neighbors with the fact the building is going to be there and we can't stop it. We all know that. So in doing so, if they're willing to get us more parking on further down and then a driveway. As it stands right now, the road that we use is not going to be there. They're going to move the road over a little further.
Okay.
It's going to be gravel.
So do they own what's out here?
You want me to explain to you? The,
yes.
I'm not going to walk around here and show you. So
something we can see.
Yes. This is a Google Earth image that I mean. So this red line is your property line. And so in the green is our client's property line. So there's the existing ballpark road.
Is this yours?
That's your property. Anything to the north?
Okay.
Yep. Okay. And then, but some of the parking, some of the gravel that's been placed there is actually on our property.
Okay.
So what they're proposing is we're going to make this a public right-of-way up and put a cul-de-sac right here at the edge of your property, and they're going to pave that road, they're going to raise the road, they're going to pave it, put curb and gutter on it, and raise it out of the floodplain, so it's being filled in here, some places 4 to 6 feet. So since that's the case, if we're 6 feet higher than what that existing gravel was right there, we got to give you access into the ball field. So we're proposing to put gravel pavement all the way through here, basically double the size of what you had before. When I talked to the mayor, he would rather us stay out of this area right here as much as possible because you're using that for football field. I wasn't really sure how you use it because I've been there, but nobody's ever been there when I'm there. And he would like us to move it further to the west and add more parking back in here, and this would just be a gravel access. So
you following it, Tim?
Yeah, I think he's talking about the wet parking lot up there to the west up in here.
Yeah,
almost off the edge of the paper.
No. Here's your parking lot that exists right now. So we're going to come back. We're going to pave it and put curb and gutters to right here. And then we're going to come in with the gravel road. And we're going to make all of that gravel parking lot, whereas right now you're using that. The mayor wanted us to stay out of this as much as possible because you're using it as a football field.
Yes.
So we were going to move it and put more parking down here. And this would just be an access back to it.
Did you say this road's going to be raised quite a bit?
On our side, we're going to have another access road around our building. Our building and all of our stuff has to be out of the floodplain.
Right.
And that ground right now, it ranges, but it could be anywhere from 3 or 4 feet to 6 or 7
so
feet.
So where your mindset is real quick, and I understand,
you know where
the
I'm
water
at.
Of the ball field goes towards that high road that they're going to have.
Yeah.
But they're going to have a ditch along it. With relief pipes going under, so it can go out.
Yes, because right now it sheets kind of kind of right through the middle of where we're proposing the building to go down to the stream, so we're going to have to pipe it around the building.
That's why the building, also my question was, why is this building shifted so far up? There's a natural drainage that goes through that field that has to be maintained.
We're staying out of that stream.
So they're staying out of that for the Corps purposes, and also, but in doing so, if you go back to what he said, the first entrance coming in, they wanted for us to have a wide 42-foot wide gravel spot. So the cul-de-sac, for those who go to the ball field, would stop short of even getting into the practice field. It'd be way back here. And the whole concept of that is, and I just kept questioning, in our layman terms, and us not being engineers, is so the cul-de-sac will give them an avenue to get out from the parking lot with their trucks and go on. Now, our ball players and kids and parents will merge into the cul-de-sac, correct?
Yeah,
and have a way out without them using the same in the ballpark area. So from the cul-de-sac out to behind Pilot, where the lift station is, will be a new road, new blacktop road and everything. But I didn't like, on the first proposal he gave me just at 5:30 today, that we was down here pulling against this little ditch thing with just enough room to get by. To me, that's a limited amount of parking for what I've seen down there. We have land past the canteen buildings that's not being used. Nobody's playing on it. And as he said, some of it's foliaged up. If they will agree in the concessions, we're in an agreement area right now, to clean that up and put double parking or more parking down there. And he suggested leave the road running along the ditch line going in and out instead of parking there. Because I don't want to see kids coming out of that ball field in the middle of the night with parents, and they've been playing ball, they're all hyped up, and mom and dad's trying to drive, and they back up, and they go into that ditch and what have you, trying to park there. So in doing so, if you alleviate that by having parking if you need it, further, the more parking you want, the less ball fields you have. But their concept is to give us parking so we can gain more parking going past the canteen buildings back in that area, if that's feasible with his customers. But that's what, in my quick rendition, knowing what's down there and the kids and what we're trying to achieve and be a good neighbor. I want them to be a good neighbor as we're going to be, because we're hoping to be there from now on in doing so.
Well, they just wanted also to make sure that their traffic is separate of yours, so it's not merging until it gets to the paved road, curb and gutter, so there's no accidents.
So in doing so, my suggestion is that he understands what we're talking about wanting. Take it back and redraw it and get it back to us and us have a chance to look at it, and we'll proceed forward with that if that's good with
y'all. So you're talking about moving. Did I understand you say you're moving the old road over?
Mm.
Just once it gets onto your property, we're just coming off and getting it onto your property. Right now, the existing gravel, part of it's on your property, part of it's on our property.
Right.
So it would just move the gravel road onto your property, and we're going to have a paved road going around the building. Okay. Just for their car and truck traffic, and just wanting a separation between the two.
The old egress coming in from the lift station still be there.
That'll be raised.
It's going to be higher because of the flood issues and what have you, and it's going to be there. But when you get back to the cul-de-sac, which is going to stop right there at the football field, we'll call it the football practice field right there. And from there on, as he's saying, you want to jump over off of their property and have gravel down through there, but instead of having all parking and stopping at the building, because the drawing he had stopped it up there around.
I stopped where it stops existing. Right now,
yes. So we gain more going further.
I agree with you. What about lighting, though? Because when you go further, you're getting further away from the lights and kids, and I mean, will they provide that, or will the city have to provide more lighting, or is that even something that?
We spoke with KU because we're having to relocate some of the overhead lines that are on the property because they're going to be in conflict with what we got. So we've got, and I'll bring it next time, then we've got an overall utility plan. And right now, all your power is served. It goes due south there again, right through the middle of our building. And so we're going to have to relocate that. So we're bringing a new overhead power line in here that would give you power to everything, and you have some poles with lights there, and when I talked to KU, they seem to think that they put them in, but that they're your poles. So if we need to add a pole or do whatever, that'll be part of KU's thing, and we'll just include it all in.
Right, and that's a good question.
You're talking about to eliminate the parking area.
Yeah, we should move it on back to where it's overgrown.
We don't put it back in the dark area, yeah.
Which I think that's a good area.
And another thing that comes to my mind, Scott, is how are they normally, because we've never had a distribution building on our property, how are they as far as lighting up their own property for security measures? Would they have the back of that building lit up somewhat that would bleed over into our parking lot?
That is a good question. Typically,
I mean, if they got that big of a building, that much stuff going on, you would think their security measures would have the back of their building lit up. And if it did, it would light up our ballpark.
Yeah, typically they have what they call wall packs that are on the building. Probably, you know, the building itself is going to be 30 some odd feet tall, so those lights are 25. They're close to the top. Mm-hmm. That's interesting because normally when they're adjacent to a different type of use, people are worried about not having lights spelled
too much
on,
light.
And they have to cut
too much light.
Their
that's the same thing J.P. Starks was fussed about the other development. Yeah. He didn't want the back of his house lit up.
I will go back to them and tell them that you would like to have
but
lights
if they,
facing
yeah,
back there.
Yeah, because it's far enough away from the residences and stuff, it would actually enhance the security because the best security in the world is light.
Well, I noticed you're keeping the gate locked when you aren't using it right there now.
Yes.
I'm sure it's to keep people from being back there.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. once this is a new road here, you know, that gate's going to be gone, I believe, and I would assume it will be.
But we would also have access at the end of the cul-de-sac to lock our gate right there.
You could put a gate right there if you'd
well,
like.
We can just take our gate up. That's our gate, and we'll move it there.
Okay.
So that way you don't have to call us for permission to get your tractor-trailers in and out.
Yeah, that would be nice. And hopefully, with having a use back here, people will be wanting to come back there.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, but you don't want nobody going in and driving on the ball fields and tearing it up. That's what the gates are for.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
I really like the idea of a new road that separates the two. First, because the road that we have now, I drove it last night and was making note of, we need to fill that pothole in or we need to fill this in because it's extremely large.
A little bit of it still got some asphalt, but most of it's just gravel and it's you're right.
It was chip sealed here and there and what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Just one more question. The cul-de-sac, is it going to be more of a roundabout or is it going to be an actual, because you've got it as an actual cul-de-sac, so.
Well, the reason we have it shown kind of like that is we put the right-of-way around there, but when we did a separate set of plans for the roads, for Ballpark Road and for Plaza Park Boulevard, I believe it's called, going the other way, that's going to serve their first two buildings. We did that on a separate set of plans before we had these plans done, and now they've got interest in this building, so we're kind of playing catch-up. So. It'll be, we have two of our access drives that are tying in at the same area, so that's really going to be kind of like a four-way intersection right there.
So another thing that we mentioned over there to keep on your minds is the area that they're using through there, that's part of our parking lot that they're going to be using. That's where the force main sewer is going to be going through. And right now at this point in time, and we hope to still have, that is our utility easement through there that we own and have access to already. If they put the force main through there, I'm not correct, Anna, Brian, then we are going to be obligated to be responsible for it, so we still have to be able to get to it. So we want to make sure we watch closely the utility easement through there before it's over. We don't want to lose it, don't want to give it up until we know we're covered.
We've been working with Matt on that. I'm just waiting. He had his original alignment was actually kind of going through the corner of our building. His system and mine just weren't jiving exactly right, and I pointed that out to him. So he's realigning his. I think he told me he'd give me something this week. And we've already put all of the rest of the easements that are needed for water, sewer, and everything on a record plat that they're going to record once they develop this, probably within the next month, that will dedicate Park Plaza Boulevard under the development and Ballpark Road. And we've shown all the easements. I'm just missing that one easement from him. Once I get it, we'll have that on the record plat. So it'll all be recorded probably within the next month, all the easements. And then whenever it gets built, that easement will remain.
Right. So y'all got any more questions? So what I would like to say is, with Brian being here representing Bluegrass and Matt not being here, whatever, we know what we're wanting. And you're going to go back and redraw it. And I know y'all are going to be involved with it also. Make it as friendly and understandable to us and customer friendly to bring it back, and we'll talk about it. And I feel like we can work up something. I don't see why not.
I don't see why we couldn't. I mean, it's
So we get a redrawn, I'll give it to you, but I'll also give it to Matt and to...
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I mean, with what he's talking about redrawing on our suggestions and what have we, are y'all comfortable with that? I'm not one to beat a person to death to draw something up 22 times. You know, let's... I know we can miss something. Obviously, y'all, we do. I do. If we do, we can get it changed at the last moment, but we'll have a more in-depth, better set of understanding of what we're wanting and what y'all willing to do for us if you redraw it.
Okay.
Is that good?
I think it sounds very fair.
It sounds very good.
So we need a motion or anything to venture into this with them?
Well, we've already got Matt and them working with it per our motion before to proceed forward with negotiation. They've been doing it in-depth.
I had submitted it to Matt and Tom. Tom's
before
this review, and he said, you need to get with Lovin' Junction. And I said, well, aren't you representing Lovin' Junction?
They're representing them.
But he said...
But it'd be so easy for them to represent if they had that much power to say, we'll take the whole ballpark, we don't care. And these people are here to make that decision. So in doing so, I just want to make sure. But they have, these council persons has already given them a tentative agreement and to go ahead to negotiate to what we want to bring it back. And then once we say yes, then we move forward.
Okay.
So I appreciate you showing it to us, taking your time. Okay, moving right on down. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. ARPA resolution, how we spend our money. Yeah, you got it.
Is it this one right here?
Nope. Yes, that's it.
That's
American
it?
Rescue Plan. Yep. We've had so much come together so quick.
A resolution of the City of Lebanon Junction authorizing the project described herein in connection with the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds. Whereas the City of Lebanon Junction, hereafter the city, has received an allocation of coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. Whereas Kentucky law or CRF statute 35.6 section D of the final rules promulgated under the ARPA permits recipients of CSLFRF to make an election of standard allowance of revenue loss such that the amount of the reduction in the recipient's general revenue due to the public health emergency over the period of performance will be deemed to be up to $10 million. To exceed the recipient's total allocation, and the city has so elected in its 2022 project and expenditure report filed with the U.S. Treasury such that the city is entitled to use its entire allocation of ARPA, CSLFRF, for the provision of government services. Whereas the overview of the final rule issued by the U.S. Treasury states that the category of government services generally include any service traditionally provided by government unless Treasury has stated otherwise. Whereas the Council has previously discussed and approved using the city's ARPA CLSFRF allocation for the projects listed on Exhibit A attached here to in the approximate amount set forth on Exhibit A, the ARPA project, and whereas for the ARPA project, as it constitutes a service traditionally provided by the government, is an eligible for an ARPA CSLFRF. Resolved that each of the ARPA and the ARPA projects be and hereby is authorized, approved, ratified, and confirmed. Resolved that the mayor and his designees be and hereby are authorized and directed to carry out the ARPA projects and to execute and deliver all agreements and other instruments deemed necessary or advisable in connection therewith, and to execute and submit to the U.S. Treasury all reports and data required in connection therewith, and resolved that the requirements of 2 CFR Part 200, the following written standards of conduct covering conflict of interest of government actions, conflict of interest and governing the actions of city employees engaged in the selection, award, administration, contracts, support, ARPA, and CSLFRF be and hereby are ratified, confirmed, authorized, and approved. Home stretch now. No employees, officers, or agents may participate in the selection, award, or administration of the contract supported by a federal award if he or she has a real or apparent conflict of interest. Such a conflict of interest would arise when an employee, officer, or agent, any member of his family or immediate family, his or her partner, or any organization which employs or is about to employ any of the parties indicated herein has a financial or other interest in or a tangible personal benefit from a firm or considered for a contract. The officers, employees, and agents of the city may neither solicit nor accept gratuities, favors, or anything. Excuse me. Gratuities, favors, or anything of monetary value from contractors or parties to subcontractors. However, the city may set standards for situations in which the financial interest is not substantial or the gift is an unsolicited item of nominal value. Disciplinary actions shall be applied for violations of these standards by officers, employees, agents of the city. Exhibit A. Don't agree to Exhibit A?
Yeah.
All right. Exhibit A. Checks for the ARP bank account. Approximate amount is $28.21. The third party administrative assistance for KIPDA, to assist with administrations of ARPA, $5,080.78. Premium paid to eligible workers performing essential work during the public health emergency and related covered benefits, $21,661.64. Fire department emergency extraction tools and airbags for lifting, $48,762.21. Construction of cemetery pavilion and related work, $162.16. Excuse me. Ballpark lighting and other improvements, $41,859. Fire department gear lockers, $7,599. Portable radar speed signs, $13,258. Repairs to bridge at City Park by Bullitt County Road Department, $1,036.86. Digital water meters and related expenses, $278,708.46. That is the conclusion of that document.
You've heard the reading of the resolution. Any questions? That went along with the audit where they come in and being this, the money is given to us, they audited and cleared it all out, and that's what that all amounts to. So we need a resolution passed saying that y'all in agreement with that.
I just have one thing. Is it open records if somebody was to come in and ask to see the invoices and the receipts and everything for these particular individual
Everything's
things?
Open records, yeah.
I mean, it's all open records. Okay. Yeah. I know it's been audited. That clears my mind. But as a, you know, someone in the public, they may want to know. So.
Right.
Just wanted to make sure.
No, okay. Everything's open record.
All right.
Right. So I would entertain a motion to accept the resolution.
I'd like to make the motion that we accept this resolution for authorizing the projects described here and in connection with the American Rescue Plan Act. Enough?
Motion been made. Regular seconded.
Second.
Sherry, we'll poll them.
Jenny?
Yes.
Joe? Becky?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
And Tim?
Yep.
All right.
Now we need the first reading of the cemetery ordinance. You got it?
Yes. Ordinance number 2023-2. An ordinance amending ordinance 2018-4 and reaffirming and imposing fees relating to Lebanon Junction City Cemetery and setting a time limit of 1 year to install headstones or other permanent markings. Whereas prices and fees relating to Lebanon Junction City Cemetery have not been set by ordinance, and whereas a set time limit for the installment of headstones or other permanent markers in the Lebanon Junction City Cemetery have not previously been set by ordinance, and whereas the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction has determined that it is in the public's interest that such prices, fees, and limits should be set by ordinance. Be it ordained by the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky. Section 1. Double deep definition, area of prices and fees. Double deep intermittence involves the potential interment of two persons, the remains of two persons, or of one person's and the remains of another person's within one grave plot, with the first interment being to be at sufficient depths, and that a second interment may be done above the first at the usual depth of a single non-double depth interment. Grave plots approved for use of double deep interments may be located within the Lebanon Junction City Cemetery, only to the northernmost side of Rudd Avenue. The following are the prices and fees for double deep approved grave plots and interments. For purchase of the use of grave plots, which is approved to be used of double deep interments, $1,500. For the first interment in grave plots approved for double deep interments, whether the remains of a person less than 1 year of age on the date of their death, or the person 1 year of age or more on the date of their death, such that another interment above the first may be made within that same grave plot, $1,800. The second interment in a grave plot above approved for double deep interments, or for a non-double deep interment in a grave plot, which is approved for double deep interments, but which the purchase has determined not for use of double deep interments, the price and fees are same as for non-double deep interments, set out in section 2, subsection B2, 3, and 4 below. Sections 2, non-double deep prices, areas, and fees. Grave plots not approved for use for double deep interments may be located within the Lebanon Junction City Cemetery to either side of Rudd Avenue. The following are the prices and fees for non-double deep approved grave plots and interments, and for second interments in double deep approved grave plots. For purchase of the use of grave plot, which is not approved to be used for double deep interments, $1,500. For interment of remains, $400. For interment of a person less than 1 year, $400. For interment of a person 1 year of age or more on their date of death, $1,500. Section 3. Any headstone or other permanent marker may be installed making a deceased person's burial place. May be installed marking a deceased person's burial place or the burial place of their remains within Lebanon Junction City Cemetery must be approximately fixed in its final position within 1 year of the deceased person's remains interment. Section 4, this ordinance shall be effective upon publication. Section 5, should any section, clause, line, paragraph, or part of this ordinance be held unconstitutional or invalid for any reason, the same shall not affect the remains of this ordinance. Section 6, parts of any ordinance in conflict with this ordinance are hereby replaced.
You've heard the first reading.
Good question. Section 3, was that in the old ordinance? Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that being in there, to be honest with you.
I have a question about that also. I know there's some crosses up there. And let's say somebody wants to come in and put in a stone. This is saying they can't do that. Am I correct? Did I read it
That's
wrong?
The way I read it, too. That's why I questioned it.
Within 1 year.
I don't remember that being there, but I guess it was in there before.
When we draw up the other ordinance, the intent of that was to say that we need a marker there within 1 year of burying somebody that pointed the ordinance on.
But it says that...
Section 3, is that where you're at?
Yeah, Section 3 must be permanently fixed in its final position within 1 year of the deceased person or the deceased person's cremains interment. So let's say, because I know there are crosses up there, and let's say down the road, you know, a family member wants to put a permanent marker, which yes. That has happened up there. I know that.
Yes. Oh, yes, it happened several times.
Yeah. So would they not be allowed to do that?
No, they can still put one up. This was supposed to be leaning towards the fact that when you bury somebody, we want you to have a stone up there within 1 year.
But it's not a stone if it's just a cross. It's not a permanent. The crosses aren't permanent. I think the word permanent is what's getting me.
Why couldn't you just go up there and replace the cross if it's deteriorated?
I'm sorry?
Couldn't you just go up there and replace the cross if it's deteriorated?
The grave is somehow marked with it.
You could,
well,
but let's say you
want to
put a stone down instead of the wooden cross that's there.
I know two of them up there, and at the time the one of them was a boy was buried, the family didn't have the money to do it.
Right.
So they put a cross up. Now, I think it's still there to this day.
But I know.
What is the policy? I mean, I know what this is, but what do we do?
As far as I'm aware of, since I've worked here, we've never stopped anybody from putting a stone. And actually, our other ordinance about the stones kind of contradicts this one, because it just says that you have to have a stone and it has to have proper footers and things like that. But I think the wording on this ordinance is a little shifted. What the intention of the ordinance is, that position on the ordinance, is to ensure that the grave is marked somehow, some way, within the first year of the person being deceased.
Yeah,
I think it's for location purposes.
But I was just wondering, will the family have the opportunity to change it if needed?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? What about military markers? Are you a foot marker this again? Does that count as a permanent marker, even though it wouldn't be at the head?
Yeah, you come in and put that.
Well, I think it's just...
Because it says any headstone or other permanent marking, so it doesn't have to be a headstone.
Must be permanently fixed in a final position within 1 year of the deceased person's or their cremain. I think that's what's tripping me up.
So, can I say something else you might take into consideration? My brother's stone took over a year to get, and we just put one of the flat markers on my wife's uncle's grave. And it took 7 months to get it. All it said was his name and had a cross on it. It took over 7 months to get it. So I don't know if that affects the 1 year thing, or do they have to have it? I don't know how that would affect it.
I mean, the only thing that was derived at, as far as my opinion was, and I had nothing to do with the actual drawing of it, it was based on what we had before, is we would like to see something there so we know who's in the ground. Now, whether it be this, that, because there's so many up there, and I deal with the cemetery myself every day. It just seems like I'm up there every day, and I'm finding so many graves that's not marked. I'm finding families that's had 10 graves 60 years ago, and they think they still got 10 graves. They've used two, maybe got eight left, and you go up there, and there's somebody in six of them with no markers, you know.
Oh, I understand what you're saying, and she said that it kind of contradicts it. So just as long as families are able to come back after a week, because a wood cross isn't permanent, I guess, is why.
No, right, right.
I mean, that's what we're doing. We're amending this ordinance, so now's the time to do that if you want to do it.
What do you want to say?
I don't know how to reword it, but I'm just worried about families that don't have the money. But let's say 5 years down the road, they do have the money and all they put is a wooden cross. It's not a permanent fixture, so can they go back and put a stone?
I think you might be getting hung up on the word permanent too, like you mentioned.
Yeah,
and
that's
it
what
does,
I think.
Nothing in here says that that permanent fixture can't be changed. At least that's my interpretation. I know permanent fixture means it has to be there, but nothing's saying that you can't replace or remove that permanent fixture and put another one there.
It just has to be something there.
Yes, so something there,
something
and then you can put
something there,
and replacing it there
permanent
in that same position.
How about, let's just, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Why don't we make the suggestion and change one word? I think it'll eliminate the problem. It says within the city limits of a cemetery, it says must be. How about shall be permanently? And that way, it gives you a little leeway. I think you want a month. I know what Larry's talking about because I've been up there with him. And you got graves up there not marked, and you don't know where they're at.
I actually had somebody come up for a day and say, I got a person buried right here in my family. I know, and it was like 40 years ago. And if you go up there and you witch and do whatever, there's somebody there, and it's right by the flagpole. And there's a white cross there. They just brought it in.
And I understand where they're at, too, but I understand what you're saying, too.
Yeah.
And what other people said about stones not being there for a year. So if it says, if we give it a little leeway anyway, should be permanently set.
And see, one of the drawbacks has nothing to do with what you're trying to salvage out of the statement here in my mind is the people I deal with in the old portion of cemetery and what have you, they don't know who's buried there themselves. So from this time forward, I'd like to know that, yes, you had four graves, but Joe's here, you know what I'm saying? And something needs to be marking that. So when I'm dead and gone, the next person can go up there and say, well, Joe's there, you know? I mean, it's just...
Didn't we say something like the Lebanon Junction City or City Cemetery must be marked?
No.
Does it have to be, like, permanently? Because I see where you're coming
from. You could put should be marked.
The thing about it is, if you go...
That would be the appropriate designation to allow...
Yeah, should be marked. But the thing about it is, how many times have I went... I know we're beating on this, but we got to come up with a conclusion... Where I'm going to be buried in Claremont, and you go up there, and when the funeral home leaves, they got that little metal stake stuck in the ground. It's got your name on it and what have you. And then somebody comes along and it's gone. Grass cutters gets it or whatever. A storm or somebody burying somebody next to it knocks it over. You don't know who was buried there. You know what I'm saying? And you can go up there and spray paint it on the ground. It's going to be gone. We need something to indicate. To the family.
I totally agree with what you're saying.
And how you want to word it, I don't care.
I don't know how to word it to make it unless, like Tim said, but I was just, I just know that that has happened in the past.
Yes, yes.
And I just didn't want someone not to be able to put a stone up. But if the other ordinance says...
You got to relish, you got to embrace the idea that when they get it and it's there.
Yeah.
We would like to see it within 1 year, just so you say they don't forget it.
But you gotta have something permanent. I see what you're saying, or they don't get marked.
And like he said, a military marker or something of that nature.
4 years now, you don't find them, is what it is.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that it rereads that any headstone or other permanent marker to be installed, deceased person's burial place or the burial place of their remains within the city, the Lebanon Junction City Cemetery, should be permanently marked in its final position within 1 year of the deceased person or person's cremation attorney. I'm changing the word must be for should.
Could we make one alteration of that? And say should, instead of saying should, add as well, say should if possible.
That's fine. I mean,
I think then that covers your concern, and it also covers our concern.
Well, let me go back to this. Should we change it where, and you hate to do that because people can't afford it, but where they can't just put a wooden cross, like there has to be something.
Doesn't say what it has to be. It's
I know, cool. That's what I'm saying. It just says something permanent, so.
Then you go into, it might take 18 months to get a headstone, 13
months. Well, it should be, we'll get you out of there. Mm-hmm.
A lot of this, as Tim always says, and he's 100% right, has to be as dotted. But you got to have some kind of compassion and leeway with the situation at hand also. So if we was to be the tyrants of the cemetery business and say this is what it's going to be, and ain't nothing ever going to change, then I've got a heck of a job up there.
5 minutes later here.
Whatever works. I just don't want anybody.
Y'all okay with what he just said to change it? We go on with that, and if we have issues from that, we'll change it again.
Yeah, I mean, now it's time to do it while he's got it.
But I'm just saying, if that change is not appropriate in days to come, we'll change it again. If y'all agree to that, make that change now.
And I can't imagine you would be mad at somebody for trying to put a more permanent thing on a plot that's already designated by a wood cross.
And I have seen such a change. I have seen such a change up there with people really not only grasping, getting them up there now. Because, and here's another thing. As he just said, it takes a while to get them. When you have this rainy weather that we have, you can't put a headstone down until it dries out, because if you do, it's going to sink and fall over.
Right.
And in doing so, the old ordinance has in there that we have to come to the city and get the drawing and how to put the base in before they can put it, and we're sticking with that also. Correct?
So that was my motion. Should it possibly be permanently fixed in its final position with 1 year?
Motion been made.
Second.
Both been made and seconded. Most polling, please.
Becky?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
And Tim?
Yes.
Second reading will be at the next meeting.
Now we got to vote on the original. No, we don't vote. It's just to change that over. Yeah, you're right. You got to read it again. Yeah. But he's going to make the changes for us.
Right? Yeah, he's going to make the changes. Yeah.
We're on the same path
right now. Yeah.
Well, we're good. We're doing good.
Yeah.
We're moving along so fast. I love it. All right, next. We're down to what we have on the agenda. The most accepted bid from Argent Bright. Brian, do you want to handle that? Yes,
190,000, and the low bid was Argent Bright Dirt Works for $104,016.15, and we're making recommendations to award the contract to Argent Bright Dirt Works for that. They did have a math error in their bid, but they were still the low bidder.
So y'all know on that too. When we get these in, Matt actually takes them back to the office and dissects them to see if the linear footage matches the per foot price and everything's kosher. And that's what he came up with, the little red ink. It was minor, but it was there and it's been corrected. So, and he's still a little bitter. So, any discussion?
We need a motion.
Yep.
Motion to accept this bid.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to proceed on with the bid from Argent Bright Dirt Works. Please poll.
Teresa?
Yes.
Jenny?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
And Allie?
Yes.
Okay, and then the mayor will authorize the mayor to sign it and execute contract documents, project documents related to this project. There was one thing that I think there. With that bid, we were a little over on the cost, but we do have some funding left over from the Westover sewer that we can use to cover that cost. I think we got $46,000 that was over, but $92,000 of it we got left over from the old
right.
Westover sewer.
And if you remember, when we discussed that with Matt before, we had money that was either going to use it and have to put something with it to make it work, or let them take it back. And I didn't want to give up $92,000. So it's going to cost us relatively in the ballpark area of, I think it's around $40,000, about half of it. So do you need anything?
So we need a motion to authorize him to carry on with the
sign the contract.
Sign the contracts and execute the contract.
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion been made by Tim, regularly seconded by Allie, to proceed on. And I sign the contracts. Poll.
Teresa?
Yes.
Counsel, please.
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
And Jenny?
Yes.
All right.
Continue on, or?
If you give me just a second, I don't want to jump around on them, and their agenda is a little different, if you'll give me just a moment. Because we wasn't sure how Matt was going to handle all of this, so we got you scattered out like shotgun blasts. So. Okay. The next line of business is today I went and met with Hayden and them, and we closed the deal on the property for the Key Market. And you'll see there the number that was transferred over was $151,468.65. That covered our portion of the closings and what have you and what have you. And I met with her today at 11 o'clock. She signed it. We done it. It's over and done. And I got the keys, and she's got everything out that we need. And because before she had leaned towards wanting more time to get her stuff out, and she beat it up pretty good and got everything out of there. She wants, there's a lot of stuff still we're going to throw away, what have you. But she relinquished the keys, took the check, and it's a done deal.
Okay, good.
Good.
Good job.
All right. Now we go down under new business. Let me move this back out of my way. First order of new business is opening bids for the cemetery mowing. You want to open that, please? Mm-hmm. We had one bidder. That's all we had turned one in. It was Vitito Services. Jeremy and Jesse Vitito, our bid is $1,100 per cutting for the 2023 mowing season for approximately 22 cuts along with additional cuts requested by the mayor. We have the said lots that they take care of in the other area and the other cemetery that's up around, and they've the same thing they've been doing and doing well. And I think the price before was $950.
$1,000 one year, $950 one year.
Yeah, $950. So, and as I said before, what we're looking at doing is what's going to help pay for this. And the cuttings get, it used to be 18 cuttings. And I went back and looked. So now it's up to 20. And the way the seasons are changing, you just don't know. And then two, just to add in his defense, he'll come to us and say, it's Memorial Weekend. We're right about there. Let's mow it and make it look good for everybody coming up there. So that's the only bid we have.
Make the motion. Second.
Motion been made by Jenny, seconded by Tim, to accept this bid and award the contract to them.
Can I make a comment real quick, please?
Yes, sir.
We've had this for 3 out of 4 years so far, and there's not a lot of people who want to do that much work. It's a lot of work taking care of a cemetery. Not this, it could be this year, next year, wherever. Is there a possibility to put in like a 2 or 3 year deal? Mowing equipment is outrageous. We're trying to upgrade some mowers, and all of our other bids, all other places we mow, we continue to do. We don't have to worry about somebody coming in and trying to lowball us and us losing it. But this is like our biggest deal. And I'm not asking for an increased price or anything. We'd probably even go a little lower if we had a multi-year deal. Because it'd be easier for us to invest in a mower. The new ones that we run are about $15,000-$17,000 for a mower. That would be the whole year's profit. But we could do a multi-year deal if it's in the interest of the city. I just want to throw it out there for possibilities of the future.
I don't see why we do the same thing with the garbage pickup. That's a 5-year contract, so I don't know why we couldn't look at that. We just never got done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about it. Less trouble for me. But the thing about it is, I want to know where we stand legally, me versus you all also. We did not put it out for bid, per se, that, hey, you bid on this and you're going to have a 3-year contract. So he's got a really livid, good point. But I would think that we would go on with this one and we'd do it next year. But it's really something that could be looked into. And before we put it out for bid next year, we will enhance the bid procedure by this is a 3-year contract.
Okay, yeah, I was just, like I said, it's hard to making a commitment to that much money on a new mower when you can get undercut and lose your biggest
biggest deal.
Right, no, I mean, I understand.
Yeah, like Larry said, we couldn't do it this year because it's the...
Yeah, the other people said, well, I'd have been if I knew I was going to get it for 3 years. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. I didn't think it'd be this year, but I just wanted to put it out there in case we could do that. I didn't know if the city would want to.
Yeah, next year we'll definitely...
What would be the traditional norm for the industry? Would they do a 3 year? What do you look at?
Well, most of our customers we just had for years anyways, but I mean, a 3 year deal would be enough, would be great. Like I said, it'd be a little lower price if we could do it for 3 years because we wouldn't be worried about losing it the next year. If we could get set in stone, like I think Jesse put $1,100 on there this year. We could probably actually do it for $1,000 if it was a 3 year consistent thing. We wouldn't have to worry about losing it, and then we could keep, I mean, we love doing it. We take care of it. As y'all can see, we take pride in it.
Right.
But a 3 year deal would be great for
everything
us.
Cheaper, but bulk.
So, I would just lower it.
I mean, I like it. But unless I got a fool with it and advertise in the paper, the better I like it. Tom don't. But we'll make it, hey, next year, Tom, we'll make it longer.
So. There you go. Make it bigger.
So we're voting.
Pardon me? Year,
yeah. Allie?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
And Jenny?
Yes.
All right. Next on here, like I said, we've had to bounce around. So much got added today. Sarah worked on this agenda to right before we come over here. That's just sad, but that's the way it's got to be done. The ribbon cutting will be tomorrow at the EMS building. Fiscal court convenes at 9:30 in Shepherdsville. The very moment...
I have to go, I'm sorry.
The ribbon cutting will be... Fiscal court will shut down as soon as they can, and they're all coming over here and going to be down to this ribbon cutting here. And I have also been asked to have you all be there if you could all possibly. I told them Joe works or whatever. Tim, the judge used you as an example. He said, Tim don't do nothing. So, so it will be down there in the ballparkish of 11 o'clock, I'm going to say. I can't hold me to it because fiscal court is what fiscal court is. But they're all traveling over here. They're going to meet down here. They got several people been invited. The firehouse has cleaned up the firehouse. They're going to back everything out, have tables. The ladies at the city office got food together. We'll be there tomorrow. There'll be some refreshments, what have you. And the guy was there to start today, and he did not get the – Bud did not mark the lines for him yet. So he could not dig today. So he's ready to proceed with it. And while we're on the EMS building, we did get the pole moved. That was a part of the problem. The building, the way it's cocked because of the railroad easement right there, you had to turn it. We had a pole too close. It cost us $1,600 to move it. I coordinated it with the power company. It came in. The contractor is paying it out of his money. So we paid it. We'll be reimbursed that. So everything's good with that. So that's just a tidbit of knowledge, and he wanted to make sure I let everybody know to try and be there if at all possible. All the public's invited. Anybody wants to be there, fire department, police department, all the public works, just show them our appreciation for what they're doing for us. Okay. Y'all got any questions on that or anything? Any comments? Nothing? Okay, we're back to you. Right. Authorized bidding for South Park project.
Yeah, we're trying to finalize the utilities for the Park South project in anticipation of bidding this month for April. So we just want, once we get all that finalized and everybody's good with it, working with Chaz and everything, we just want to get authorization to advertise for bids and publicly open those for the month of April.
Any questions?
So we need a motion? Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'll make the motion to go ahead and get the bids out for the month of April for the Park South development.
Okay.
Second.
Motion been made, regularly second, to proceed on with the bid package for Park South. Would you call the council, please?
Joe?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
And Teresa?
Yes.
And Jenny had to leave.
Jenny had to leave. Ready. Next one.
It's the water meter, the radio read rock water meter project that we had. We're finalizing all that information, and there is an FCC license that needs to be signed and executed by the mayor. So we're asking authorization for the mayor to sign that FCC license.
I'll make a motion that we authorize the mayor to sign those contracts to the FCC license.
I second.
Motion been made by Tim, seconded by Teresa. Proceed forward with the Stu Spectrum, I'm pretty sure. Poll council, please.
Joe?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
And Becky?
Yes.
All right. Next.
Okay, we have the memorandum of agreement with Jim Bean on the water line extension, the 12-inch water line. That's all been agreed upon by Jim Bean. And so once the funds are received, we ask for them to pay for it up front. So everything, all of our costs is going to be included by the funds from Jim Bean. So there's no additional cost to the city on that project. And so we're just asking for authorization for the mayor to execute and sign the memorandum of agreement. And then we'll begin work once that payment is received. Yep. From Jim Bean.
And the payment from them was requested for us to, being it's a water project, to add it to the water bill, which I would not do, and I talked to our attorney about it, that we needed some kind of something saying it wasn't just an addition to the water bill. So in doing so, the engineer that's older than Sean Orr, he sent us back a letter of request that we would make a line item on their water bill for the 90 some odd thousand dollars that's needed. And they said as soon as they got the water bill with that on it, they would send the money, go in the account, and we'll start pending we do the agreement.
Do we have an agreement drawn up between the two of us?
Yes.
We haven't seen it. Do we have an agreement?
I don't know if Matt included it in the packet or not. That's all.
Yeah, I think it is.
There's something you gave us tonight?
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what we're talking about, agreeing to. They use the same format as we did.
Yep, that's it.
It's the same agreement that Park South signed. Very similar.
You see it, Tim?
No, yeah, I mean, I just want a copy of it, is what I want.
You see here where you was with the, yes, yeah, but right next page.
This one.
It's the next page.
Next page, back, this one?
Yeah, no, just one more page, no, other way.
Back.
That's it right there.
Okay, that's all I want, was a copy of it.
Yeah, and it's the same one that we used before, we just changed the, it's actually same procedures as we're using for each and every individual thing that we use out there that has to prepay us. Any questions?
No. So what, do you need a motion?
Yes, so we can sign it.
Make a motion, and we authorize you to do it, correct?
Yes, I'll sign it. Yeah.
Motion that the mayor have the authority to sign, proceed with this between Jim Bean and ourselves.
Second.
Motion made by Tim, seconded by Allie. Proceed on further with this. I will sign it, and there would be nothing executed or gone forward until the money is in the bank. So that's where we're waiting on the money as well. Poll, please.
Teresa?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
And Allie?
Yes.
And Jenny's absent.
Okay, the next thing we have is we had to put out, per the fact that it's federal money for the floodwater pump station, anybody that wanted to apply the credentials stating that they have done enough past practice affiliated with pumps or anything of that nature. So we didn't need a price, we needed a resume of their achievements and their ability to do such. In doing so, we only had, Friday was the cutoff date, one, and it was Matt. And like I say, in it you will find his portfolio, profile, whatever.
Resume,
however you want to call it, of all his achievements and what he's done and how much his qualifications stem toward being able to be the engineer that we need. And he is the only one that turned one in.
I got no complaints about that.
Any questions?
He's been good to us.
I mean, it allows Matt to proceed forward doing what he's been doing for us, but being the money come from a different avenue, it's requested to, you got to go a different procedural route to pick who you want. Had we got eight of these, you'd be looking at a whole lot of reasons saying, well, this guy's this or this guy's that. So in doing so.
Make a motion.
Make a motion to approve for Matt to be the engineer for the pump station project.
And the mayor.
And the mayor.
Yes, sir.
To sign it.
Second.
Motion been made by Becky. You're done. Seconded by Tim. Poll the council, please.
Joe.
Yes.
Allie.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
And Becky.
Yes.
And Jenny's absent.
Okay. Update on the bottom for the nuisance. You look at me like I've forgotten something. Update on the nuisance committee. I have went back and talked to, actually I had some time to talk to Walt, who actually drawn up the nuisance ordinance that we've been using. 15, I think it's -01. And I talked to him, and in doing so, and our attorney and what have you, there are steps and procedures and policies that's in that ordinance that needs to be, and we have not really used that. We discussed that last meeting. It was in the paper where we're going to go ahead and go after some of these things. And there's like 15 days waiting. There's this, there's that. And everybody that's involved will get the same documentation given to them, the nuisance ordinance itself. But in doing so, it's adamantly pushed to me. Walt did when we first did this 8 years ago. He said, you have to have your committee. They got to be there. They're not to do anything unless it goes into the point where they don't proceed forward, and we have to go after fines, and we have to do this. And I was cleared up a lot of avenues talking to him and lawyers and what have you. It's an in-house operation is what it is. So we not only give the warnings, ample amount of days it's in the ordinance, and we'll follow the ordinance to the letter. Then we will have to cite them. If we cite them, then we go into another avenue of time frame and what we do. It will go to the committee. Then the committee themselves will be the ones to say that we proceed on and go forward. We cut grass clean, do whatever we got to do. Then we have our lien situation set up. We take it over, apply a lien to the property. And a lawyer told me and him and a bunch of us, like I said, I went back to Walt, actually. I haven't seen you to tell you that, because I was with Walt at a function the other night. And being he drawed it up, I asked Walt about it. He said, oh, yeah, I remember it well, you know. And it's and when Hayden was here, Hayden was dealing with this at Mount Washington. So I just know it's there. It's got the teeth that we want to use. We're going to apply it. We're going to use it, but we're going to be right. In doing so, it states that the mayor will pick three people to be on that committee. I don't like to pick nothing without y'all being involved and agreeing. I just very seldom ever do it. It's got to be something emergency and under a dollar amount where I can, and it has to be done before I would do that to you. So I have on the committee Dana Bumgardner. She's been on it since day one. I had two other people on it, Jimmy Waters and another person, and they've since moved. I got Bob Collins, who lives up on Church Street, and I have Tony Roberts. All three of them is tickled to death to be asked to be on it. I would like to ask that y'all bless the fact that my choices are approved by you all also. And in hopes that we don't have to need them. But if we do, and I'm actually going to meet with them Thursday afternoon at 4:30, give them the ordinances and stuff, and explain what I think I know about it and what we don't, the attorney will. And if it gets to where, is anything got to be done, the attorney will be present at whatever we have to do. So.
Does anyone need to see the ordinance? I have it already.
Yeah. So, do y'all got any questions? I guess what I'm asking you is those three people seem to be...
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah, they're good people.
I mean, I think they're fair-minded people. I think they're also... Tony's been involved with the law enforcement in the past, and Bob, and Dana's heart's always been in it. So...
And they're all willing to do it. And
they all... I asked them if they would, and they was tickled to death to even be asked on it. And I reiterated to them twice, and they did. And like I said, I could have picked them, and I do pick these people, but if we have a controversy, I'd rather have it right here. But if y'all in agreement, I will proceed on with the meetings. I just want to know that y'all in agreement.
Mm-hmm. You good? I think you chose well.
I think I did too, but now that it's out, that's who it is.
Now, do we have to have a motion?
Just for giggles, y'all make a motion, we'll vote on it.
Well, how often will they meet?
They're only going to meet if needed. If it gets to a hearing process, and the hearing will be held over there, and it would be into with the person that did not adhere to the rules. If they do what they're supposed to do and get it done and get cleaned up, there's never nothing.
And they understand all that?
Yes. Well, if they don't understand it wholeheartedly, they will after Thursday.
They will.
And if they decide they don't want to do it, I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. But they know it. I'm pretty sure they know it. And it's going to make this community look a whole lot better. It just is. But do remember this. It's not going to be a fast action thing. It is not. So if I meet with those people Thursday, don't be looking for yards to look really great by Friday morning. Because this is going to take some time. And we need to get our foot on the ground, and we need to be right. Whatever we do, we want to be right.
So you want a motion just to support you?
I want a motion. I would like to. I don't think it has to be.
Just a motion. I make a motion that we accept the three people listed on our agenda, chosen by Larry, who are in agreement with serving.
I'll second it.
Motion been made in approval of Dana, Bob, and Tony. Been seconded. Would you please poll the council?
Joe?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Jenny's absent.
All right. And I wrote something down here after that I was wanting to also thank Brian Whitaker, who was sitting in here, and he had to go also. And then my phone beeped while ago. It was Jenny was texting me, I got to go now, so I don't know what happened. But anyway, Brian was here, and I was going to publicly thank him for his achievements of getting the inmates over here to help us out as they have been. I know they worked on the roads everywhere, not just us. Everybody's getting their fair share, I believe. And I just want to wholeheartedly praise the attitude and the response that's going on with it. We have people on our department that goes over and has the training by them. He's getting ready to have another class, and Dale retired, and we have the new person that we hired. He's going to go over and take it also. So in doing so, and then I'm going to ramble a little bit here. I also have, at Tim and the lodge's discretion, we have a person coming down that's going to do a CPR class in 2 weeks on a Wednesday up there, and I have a lot of people in our department as far as the city workers wanting to go over and have that. So it's going to cost $25. I could do that. So I'm going to pay to have them people take the CPR classes over here Wednesday. And the ones that wants to take it is going to get it. He'll only have, 15? Is it?
I think it's 14. He's got up to 14 dummies or whatever.
And he said that he's going to do those. And with what we got that we want to do in those, I'm going to have them go through and do this. So in doing so, they're going to get some training from the jail and how to handle the prisoners or inmates while they're here. And we've had nothing but good out of it, nothing. And they came over this week and actually washed the inside of this building down, every inch of the walls entirely, worked all day in here. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't realize how much brighter and better it looks. And they would just tickle to death to do it. And in doing so, in the accountability of the questions last week, we bought their dinners and what have you, and everybody was happy, and they came back and worked a couple of days, and they're going to come some more. They helped clean the tree up out back. It's just good. The jail is working really well with the county, in my opinion. And so if you see the outcome of what they're doing, I'm sure you'll agree with me that they're doing a great job for us as everybody else. I hope they are, but I'm worried about us, so.
Not only here in Liberty Junction, but
in the county.
He's going everywhere. Yeah. Everybody getting their fair share. So it's not like he's just coming over here. He's been doing really well. And I talked to some of the other mayors, and before there was a little animosity towards sending people over there to be trained to handle them and didn't care. Well, the ones I've talked to, everybody's getting on board. So it's going to make the jail a little more productive for him. So that's what I have. So I will go to Chief.
Although we had 108 runs for the month, other than that, it was good. please, please, please lock the cars at night. I don't know who it is. It's not just people from LJ. We have people that's coming from all over Louisville and everywhere else that's getting in cars. You know, all I can do is ask you to please lock your car.
Work. Is that all you got?
That's it.
Chief, Assistant Chief.
Adams at work, so he sent me over here. We had 62 runs last month. He wants to surplus some 10-year-old trucks or turnout gear and wildland gear, and wants to surplus and donate to Fredo High School, so like we did before, to their program, their junior program up there. I believe all you all have the list in front of you all.
I see two vehicles.
You told me you did all anyway.
Two vehicles, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
So I saw was two vehicles.
So there's another list there's also two vehicles, too.
I didn't see the other one.
I didn't see it.
I don't have it either.
Oh, there's a little piece right here.
That's the only one that came in the folder.
What did you have? That's the only one you got?
That's all that we got.
So you don't have the structural list?
I don't think so, no.
I don't either.
No.
I gave them everything that was in Adam's folder.
You can keep moving.
Are you talking about the turnout?
Yep.
I got it.
I don't have it
yet.
I don't think
I'm.
Let me look again.
I got it.
There's so much stuff in it as well.
That's what
we killed several trees tonight.
What that is, serial number, the name, serial model number, serial number, size, and stuff.
Not that.
In here.
That's what goes to the store.
Yeah, this is the
right one. Where did you find it?
The very back.
Yeah. This is the one that was talking about the vehicles.
So.
Too old.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Don't make any sense to me either.
So, has this already been replaced?
Huh?
All this stuff already been replaced?
No. It's just some stuff that we've had that's 10 years old, can't use as far as our stuff.
So, who are you donating? What are you donating to?
Fairdale High School to their junior program. Yeah, they can use it as a training thing. We can't use it in the fire service. It's called a 10 years old.
Todd, that 1984 Ford, which one is that? We have so many vehicles, I can't keep up with
one
vehicle per year.
The pump, the 5133 pumper. The one sitting in the city barn.
Any questions?
The Expedition is the old fire command vehicle, isn't it?
One that I got from Southeast Florida.
Right.
A long time ago.
Yeah. It served its purpose.
Yes, it has.
And the 84 Ford, what is that?
The pumping truck that's sitting down South City Barn.
Do they run?
Huh?
Do they run?
Yeah.
So it's a tanker truck?
No, the pumper truck.
Does the pumper work? Does it work?
The tank bag and stuff like that. No fast pump test, but we've done.
Is the mileage correct on that? 20,000 miles?
Probably.
That was bought as an emergency purchase in 1984.
I say Wayne can probably tell you more about one clock than I can.
I made the first run of
it.
How long since you used it?
I haven't used it since I've been back. That was July 19th last year. Pretty sure it was sitting at the city barn before that.
Nobody else, I mean, I don't know how that works. Could we not donate this to another fire department?
I guess we could if we find somebody wants it. We want to take the upkeep and fix it.
I mean, how we get rid of it, we need to come up. If we're going to get rid of it, we've got to figure out if we're going to put it out for sealed bids to get rid of it or donate it to somebody, or what do you want, what do you want to do?
You know, there's a couple small fire departments in the area. I don't know if they'd have any in Boston. I don't know if Boston have an interest in this at all.
The biggest thing is a stray stick. Well, nobody can drop it. Go over there right now, and there's probably four or five of us that can drive it. That's it. That's a big problem.
My question, my statement's going to be, and I said the same thing to Terry, and I don't know where he had to go. Terry's got stuff.
There's something at the library.
Terry's got stuff he wants to surplus also. So if y'all would like, let Terry get his surplus list together, add it to this one. And then we could do them all at one time.
Yeah, I'd like to sit table it for a month and get them all together. I'd like y'all to reach out to Boston and see if they've got any use for it, another fire department that may be able to use it. I don't know what it'd take to fix it, but I just hate to scrap it and or surplus it, and maybe somebody could use it. I just would give it to them.
Well, the Fairdale High School.
Well, I understand that part. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, we're talking about the vehicles.
Yeah, we're talking about these two vehicles. Themselves.
Oh, I thought you were donating those too.
No,
we surplus them out. You can take a sealed bid and get rid of them for $200, or you can give it to somebody, and to them it might be worth a fortune if they have nothing else.
I do know if there's a fireman over there that's interested in the buying the truck.
Well.
So, we'll do whatever you want.
I mean, they're not being used now. In 1 more month, it's not going to make a big difference, is it?
Well, back to what you just said, and in lieu of Terry, so we can move on with this. Terry hit me this afternoon, and I was coming out the door to go to another meeting. I've been in meetings all day long. I came back and met with them it was like 2 minutes, and Terry got me. Well, I want to surplus this, and this, and you know me well enough to know you're not going to hit me with something going from the car to the truck and say, yeah, sell it. And Terry had two vehicles he wanted to get rid of, and it would cut us down, so you'd be thinking about it before it comes. It would have cut us down to where our police officers have a car. Okay, but what if one of them goes down?
He had one extra, right?
Well, at that point in time, he was going to have no extra, is what he told me. He said, no, we won't need them. I said, so we just got one fixed. Officer hit a deer, so the same deer come back tomorrow, didn't get killed, we hit it again. We don't have a police officer, so we put him on unemployment because we don't have a car. You see what I'm saying? This ain't you. I'm talking about Terry. And then I said, and then two, we got people going to school that could take that and drive up to their classes and not deplete our officers from having a car out here that's needed. I said, don't cut yourself to the bare minimum. You come back and tell me, because Terry has already got his sights set on a new car, and I understand we need one. I know that too. But I didn't want to get in the position by us just hastily saying get rid of everything down to the bare bone minimum. And then, well, guess what? The old black car broke down, and this is that. That's where you get that story. And then we're short a car or two cars when we just got rid of two. The insurance, we don't want to pay all the time, but a little bit of insurance and the concept that we have a backup vehicle for emergency purposes or nicety to send them to school with. Because if we're going to go up there for a week to school and they take that old car and they drive it up there, even if something happens, we don't need it.
Right.
So it still has a use. So in doing so, if you keep yours together, if it's good with you all, we'll get his. We can go ahead with the gear.
I'll make a motion we go ahead with the turnout gear and declare that surplus.
I second.
And table this one until we get Terry's.
Yeah, I mean, vehicles. I don't want to have two or three auctions and giveaways and what have you. And then Chaz probably got some stuff. Chaz, you got some stuff also, don't you?
All kinds.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So given 30 days, we can... Bless
everybody
you.
Get a list together.
We can get your list together and we surplus all of them.
Well, I made a motion on the turnout gear. Somebody seconded it, I think.
I did.
Motion been made and regularly seconded on turnout gear to give it to the school. Poland, please.
Becky.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
All right.
Teresa.
Yes.
Allie.
Allie. Yes.
Jenny's absent.
Jenny's absent.
Now you know you don't want me tapping on the table. Don't you be sneezing. It's the microphone. I tap on the table, drives her nuts because she hears it. When you really notice, I tap on the table. So, anything else from you all on that? We're done with that. All right. So now I'll come around the horn. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
And like I say, keep the concept of the surplus?
Yes.
What? Chaz.
I am. I'm coming around. Okay. And then Terry, I will leave. I'll go back to him and we'll do that. Chaz?
Yeah, we had a problem over the weekend where a tree fell in the sewer line over there on Main Street. You go across that footbridge, you see that sewer main exposed. But a tree fell and busted it. So that sewer drained down through that line, down that creek bed, till Sunday at 4:30 when I was called. So me and Eddie and Caleb and Mike, we got it temporary fixed up in there. We got it wedged up with concrete blocks, but we have to have, I called Barrett Archibald, they're going to stop here and look at it. We're going to end up having to put two joints of that cast iron pipe and then concrete footers underneath them to support it in that ditch line. He's going to stop this week sometime and I'm showing what we're going to need. I called the Division of Water, reported and everything, so anything's ever said, it's yeah. been recorded through Frankfurt. We got it in Louisville anyway. And we're going to need to take that. There's another tree there on the right side. It's going to be taken out. This up. I went and looked at it yesterday. Today, it's big. We've got to have a company come in there and take that out. Because it's already rotted out on this right side of it. And if it goes, the wind blows right, it's going to go back down on that line again. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to have a contract to take that out.
They put that out for bid? Or be an emergency?
If it'd be an emergency, I don't think it'd be that much either.
It won't be over the $30,000.
No, it'd be minimal. It'd be substantially lower than what would require us to do that.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I just wanted him to come look at it.
So
we got it flowing down.
Well, it depends on the amount, I guess.
Right.
And how big the tree is.
And now the telemetry and everything's all hooked up on everything. All the kinks have been worked out of it. And all the employees have the telemetry on their telephones where they can see what the tank level is or whatever. They just can't make no changes. I'm the only one that can make the changes in the settings or turn a valve on or turn a valve off. Everybody's got it in their phones, so they know. We had a problem. Number two pump is the sewer bar. It is the newest pump that we just paid to have put in. It was tripping. What is it called that's inside there?
Click zone.
Thermal coupling?
That's
the thermal coupling getting hot.
Yeah, it shows signs of overheating.
Signs of overheating. But he's got it. Let's use the word bypass, and it's running, it's an automatic, and it hasn't tripped off since. So, let it run until it goes. But we got another pump sitting in the garage and all we have to do is just turn it off and pull it out and put the other one in and then have it worked on.
Prepared.
We got a spare for it.
Yeah. And when we had all that trouble with that last pump, it cost all that money. We took the old pump and had it redid. So we have a spare.
Good.
And the new pump that's having the faulty issue is already out of warranty, so there you are, you know. Naturally, and it's working. It's just so minute of a temperature influx.
It works so hard.
And if it happens, we'll change it out. As far as the maintenance program, get it out of there, emergency, get it back in, and send it off, get it rebuilt. So.
The water percentage is 6% this month. That's it. All I got.
That's it. Tim?
I'm good.
You good? Joe?
Good.
Yeah, you good?
Speed signs, when are they going to get moved around?
I just moved across one out on 434.
On 434.
Okay, well, what about Church Street? Because they're still flying down Church Street. This thing, that's all I got.
No, I just wanted to thank the fire department for their participation in the community Easter egg hunt. We actually pulled it off because the ground was dry, and I never would have thought that it would be. But we had a nice little crowd, and I thank everybody
had a good crowd
who helped us, the Easter Bunny, Carrot. It was just a nice little
Yes, the fire department did well, and I got people calling me, saying, oh, we didn't know that they're going to haul a rabbit around, so they had a rabbit right around on a fire truck. Okay.
That kind of was a lack of it. Wow.
But it turned out well. Right. It really did.
Bad birthday party.
All righty. Hearing nothing else, I asked the attorney, so he's got nothing. Tom, you got anything you'd like to say? I always like to ask you. All righty.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Y'all want a second?
Somebody second it for me.
Second.
Motion made. Adjourned and seconded.
Jim.
Yes.
Tim. Joe. Yes. Becky. Yes. Teresa.
Yes.
Allie.
Thank y'all. Appreciate everybody.